All right, let's dive into paid search. We're looking to refine your strategy for 2024, and we've got your articles, notes, the whole shebang ready to go. We're going to pull out all the must-knows.
Paid search is so interesting because you're connecting with those potential customers right when they're searching for what you offer.
Mm.
You know, it's different from organic search.
Right.
With organic search, it's like a slow burn. You build up your site's authority over time. Paid search is about that immediate visibility. Bam.
Yeah. And you only pay when someone actually clicks.
Yeah.
So it's a really focused budget spend. But before we get too deep, maybe we can just tease out a couple of the key takeaways from your research. I was reading through and honestly, I was even surprised. Like, did you know that tiny tweaks to your ad copy can have a huge impact on how many people convert?
Yeah.
And have you ever heard of this thing called cannibalization?
Mm.
It's like this sneaky little thing. It could be eating away at your budget without you even knowing.
It's funny you say that because a lot of people I talk to, they're surprised by how much those little details matter. And yeah, cannibalization is a real issue, especially if you aren't carefully coordinating your paid and organic search strategies.
So should we start there then? Why don't we give a quick overview of why paid search is so important, especially now in 2024, and then we can break down cannibalization.
Sounds good to me. So paid search is really valuable because it offers that targeted reach we talked about, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're putting your message in front of the people who are already interested. And it's also a great tool for budget control, right?
Right.
You can set those specific limits and adjust them on the fly. And then, as we mentioned, it works hand in hand with your organic search efforts, giving you that visibility boost while your SEO strategy builds over time.
It's a 1-2 punch. All right, so this cannibalization thing, I gotta admit, when I first saw that in your notes, it sounded a little scary.
Yeah.
What exactly is it, and why should we be worried about it?
Okay, so imagine you're ranking well organically for a keyword. Let's just say it's custom dog portraits.
Okay.
So that means your website, it's showing up high in the results, even without those paid ads. But if you're also bidding on that exact same keyword in your paid search campaign, well, you might actually be competing with yourself.
Oh.
Your paid ad might appear above your organic listing.
Interesting.
So you're essentially stealing clicks you could have gotten for free. That's cannibalization.
Oh, I see how that's a problem. So you're paying for traffic you could have gotten organically.
Exactly. And it can eat into your budget like crazy, especially if you're bidding on those really competitive keywords.
Yikes. Okay, so how do we avoid this? What are some strategies that we can use to make sure our paid and organic efforts are, you know, playing nice and working together, not against each other?
Well, careful keyword research is key.
Yeah.
So one approach is to focus your paid campaigns on different keywords than the ones you're targeting organically.
Gotcha.
For example, you could bid on more specific long-tail keywords that are less competitive, but still relevant to your business.
Okay, so instead of bidding on, like you said, custom dog portraits, which we're already ranking for organically, we might try something like custom dog portraits in watercolor style or custom dog portraits with like Renaissance costumes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're still reaching a very specific audience, but you're not stepping on your own toes, right?
Right, right.
Another strategy is to use a different ad copy for your paid and organic results. This helps differentiate your listings, giving those searchers a reason to click on both.
Makes sense. So it's not just the keywords themselves, it's how we present the message.
Yeah.
We need to give people a reason to click on both. Okay, but how do we even know which keywords to target? You mentioned long tail keywords, but where do those come from?
Well, this might surprise you, but a great place to find those valuable keywords is by actually looking at your competitors.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. There are tools out there that let you see which keywords they're bidding on and how they're performing. And that can give you some really great insights into what's working in your industry, and it might help you uncover some hidden gems you wouldn't have thought of.
I like it. Some sneaky.
Right.
So we're not just brainstorming keywords, we can use the competition's research. It's like a shortcut.
Yeah. But remember, we want to be ethical about it.
Right.
We're not talking about stealing ad copy. We just want to understand the landscape.
Right. We're not copycats. We're smart about it.
Exactly.
Speaking of being smart, I remember in one of these articles, there was something about negative keywords.
No. Yeah.
What are those? How do those fit into all this?
Negative keywords are basically the keywords that you don't want your ads to show up for. Think of them as like a filter to block out irrelevant traffic.
Okay.
Let's go back to our custom dog portraits example. You might want to add negative keywords like free, cheap, or DIY to prevent your ads from showing up for people who Well, they're looking for those budget-friendly options or those who want to paint their own pet portraits.
That's a really good point. You're right. They probably wouldn't be interested in our super fancy custom-made portraits. So negative keywords, they're all about refining our targeting, making sure we only reach people who are really interested. It's like we're weeding out the garden so only the best leads can sprout up.
Exactly. And speaking of weeding out the unwanted, we should also talk about ad extensions. This is where you can add in those extra little bits of information to your ads, like your phone number, your location, or maybe some special offers you're running.
I love those. I always click on the ads that have those site link extensions because you get a sneak peek of the website before you click through. It helps me decide.
Exactly. And it can really boost those click-through rates and improve your ad's performance overall.
Okay, so this is all coming together.
Yeah.
We've got avoiding that cannibalization by using different keywords. And we've got different ad copy for the paid and organic campaigns. We've got those negative keywords to refine our targeting. We've got those ad extensions to really make them stand out. But what about the actual content? How do we make sure that they are compelling enough to get people to click?
That's where the art of ad copywriting comes in.
Okay.
We need to think about what will really resonate with our target audience.
Right.
Create that sense of urgency that makes them want to take action.
Mm.
We need to really highlight our unique selling points. We've got to incorporate those keywords we carefully selected and make it super clear what we want the user to do.
It sounds like writing ad copy is kind of like walking a tightrope. We have to be informative, we have to be persuasive, and we have to be concise.
Yeah.
All at the same time. It's like writing a mini masterpiece.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to test different versions of your ad copy.
Mm.
We've got to see what performs the best.
Right.
And that's where A/B testing comes in handy.
Like a science experiment for your ads. You put different versions against each other and you let the data decide the winner.
You got it. And speaking of data, we also need to be tracking our conversions.
Okay.
This means monitoring which actions users are taking after they click on your ads. Are they making a purchase, signing up for a newsletter, or downloading that resource?
Mm-hmm.
This is how we understand what's working, what's not, and where we can make those adjustments.
So we really need to be data-driven with paid search. It's not set it and forget it. It's more like, you know, constantly analyzing and tweaking to improve performance.
Absolutely. Paid search is a dynamic process. The more closely we monitor that data, the more effective our campaigns will be.
Yeah.
But maybe we can save that conversation for another time.
Sure.
We've covered a lot of ground already.
You're right. We should probably let all this sink in. But before we go, I am curious. For someone who's just starting out, what is that one piece of advice you would give them? Like the most important thing to keep in mind?
Oh, that's a great question. I think the most important thing is to start with a really clear understanding of your target audience and what they are looking for. Because without that foundation, even the most perfectly crafted ads are just not going to work.
So it all comes back to knowing your audience?
Always.
That's something we hear a lot in marketing, but it's clearly just as important in paid search.
Well, I think this is a good place to pause for now.
Yeah.
We've covered a lot of ground, but we've really only just scratched the surface.
Right.
So in the next part of our deep dive, we're going to explore some more advanced tactics and strategies.
Right.
Really take your campaigns to the next level. Welcome back to our deep dive into paid search. Last time we talked about some of those big picture ideas, you know, like how to avoid cannibalizing your own traffic and those negative keywords and ad extensions and all that good stuff. How to make the ads sound good.
Yeah.
Are you ready to keep digging deeper?
I'm ready. Let's do it. Okay. So let's just say I'm totally new to paid search. Where do I even begin? I know you mentioned different types of campaigns like search, display, shopping.
Yeah.
How do I know which one is right for me?
That's a great question. It depends on your goals,
yeah,
you know, and who you're trying to reach. Search campaigns, those are the most common and usually the best place to start.
Okay.
They're all about showing your ads to those folks who are actively searching for specific keywords on Google.
Okay, so if I'm selling handmade jewelry and I want to reach people who are searching for, I don't know, unique silver earrings?
Yeah.
A search campaign would be a good fit.
Exactly. Now, display campaigns, those are more about like visually grabbing attention,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Your ads would appear on websites, apps, all those things that are part of Google's display network.
Mm-hmm.
This can be a good way to build brand awareness or target people based on their interests,
okay,
even if they're not actively searching for your product right then.
So with display ads, I could reach someone who loves fashion blogs, even if they're not specifically looking for earrings at that moment.
Yeah.
It's more about catching their eye, getting the brand out there.
That's it. And then we have those shopping campaigns.
Oh,
Those are made specifically for e-commerce businesses. You can showcase those products right there within the search results, making it really easy to find and buy.
So if someone searches for buy silver earrings online, my shopping campaign would show them pictures of my earrings right there in the results with the price and a link to buy them.
Exactly. It's very visually appealing, especially on mobile.
It is. I love those.
Oh.
Okay, so we've chosen our campaign type. What's next?
Within each campaign, you'll create ad groups. Think of these as containers for your keywords and ads.
Okay.
Each ad group should focus on a specific theme or set of keywords that are really closely related.
So back to my handmade jewelry. One ad group could be silver earrings and another could be gold necklaces. Exactly. And then within each ad group, you'd have a set of keywords relevant to that theme. So in your silver earrings ad group, you might have sterling silver earrings, handmade silver earrings, hoop earring silver, that sort of thing.
Okay, so we're organizing these keywords into these little themed groups. Why is that so important?
Well, it keeps your campaigns organized and focused. It also allows you to create those more targeted ads. Since all the keywords in an ad group are related, you can write ad copy that speaks directly to that theme.
Right, so it's not just throwing a bunch of keywords into a campaign and hoping for the best. We have to be strategic, create a structure that Google likes and humans like.
Exactly. Finding that sweet spot where you're satisfying those algorithms and the actual people.
This is starting to feel like a real science, you know?
Huh.
Keywords, ad groups, campaigns, it's a whole system.
It is a system, but it's not as complicated as it sounds at first. Once you get those basic principles down, it's manageable.
That's good to hear. All right, so we've got our campaign set up. We organized our keywords into those ad groups, wrote some killer ad copy. What's next?
Now we talk about bidding strategies.
Uh-huh.
This is how you tell Google how much you're willing to pay for each click on your ad.
Okay, the money part. This is where things get real.
Right. There are a couple of different approaches you can take here. You can set manual bids where you're in control, or you can go for that automated bidding where Google's algorithms do the heavy lifting for you.
Okay, so it's like cooking a meal from scratch or using one of those meal kit delivery services.
I like that. With manual bidding, you've got more control, but it takes more time and know-how to manage. With automated bidding, you're giving Google the reins, you know, trusting their algorithms to optimize those bids for you.
So which one's better?
It really depends on your goals, your budget, and how comfortable you are with all this. If you're just starting out, automated bidding can be a good way to get started without getting too lost in the weeds. But if you're looking for that fine-tuned control, manual bidding might be a better choice.
Gotcha. I'm starting to understand the nuances here. Okay, so we've got campaign types, ad groups, bidding strategies. Anything else we need to know before we launch?
Just one more essential piece. Landing pages.
Right.
This is where people end up after they click on your ad.
Right. We talked about that a little bit before, but why are they so important?
Because it's your chance to make that good first impression, right? And convert those clicks into actual customers.
Okay.
So imagine someone clicks on your ad for handmade silver earrings and they land on your homepage, which is filled with all sorts of jewelry, necklaces, bracelets, rings.
Yeah.
They might get overwhelmed and leave without finding those earrings.
Okay, that makes sense. It's like walking into a store and being bombarded with options, you know? You don't know where to look.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A good landing page is laser focused on that specific product or service from the ad. Clear messaging, visuals, and a strong call to action.
So if my ad is for those handmade silver earrings, my landing page should really feature them front and center with a clear description, nice images, maybe some customer reviews,
yeah,
and a call to action like shop now or view collection.
You got it. It needs to be a seamless extension of that ad. A smooth, nice experience.
Okay, I think I see the bigger picture now. We've got setting up campaigns, organizing those keywords, choosing a bidding strategy, and creating those compelling landing pages. Phew, it's a lot.
It is. It's all part of a successful paid search strategy.
So let's just recap for a minute. We've talked about the importance of that keyword research, avoiding that cannibalization, those negative keywords, and ad extensions. And we've explored the different campaign types, ad groups, bidding strategies.
Mm.
We emphasized that compelling ad copy, those well-designed landing pages. Where do we go from here?
Now it's all about putting this knowledge into practice, building those campaigns. But before you jump in, I have a few more things to share that can help you really maximize your results and avoid those common pitfalls.
Okay, lay it on me. What else do I need to know?
Let's talk about data analysis.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to track those key performance indicators, those KPIs, to see what's working.
Okay, but what does that actually mean? What kind of data am I looking at?
You want to keep an eye on your click-through rate, your CTR, which tells you how often people are clicking. Your conversion rate, that tells you how many clicks are turning into actual customers or leads. And then your cost per acquisition, or CPA, which is how much you're spending for each new customer.
Okay, a lot of acronyms.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm seeing how those numbers can paint a really good picture of how your campaigns are doing.
Exactly. Once you have that data, you can make smart decisions about how to optimize those campaigns. Maybe you need to tweak your bids, change up that ad copy, or refine your targeting. It's about experimenting.
So paid search is all about learning and adapting.
It is. But that's what makes it so interesting, you know. The more you learn, the better your campaigns become.
This has been so helpful. I feel like I can actually tackle this whole paid search thing.
Yeah.
But before we get too carried away, what's one of the biggest mistakes you see people making when they first start out?
One of the most common is set it and forget it. People launch their campaigns, and then they never bother to check in and see how they're doing.
Oh, I can see how that would be a problem. It's like planting a garden and then never watering it or weeding it.
Exactly. It needs that attention, that optimization. You've got to be regularly reviewing your data, making adjustments, testing different versions. It's not a one-time effort.
Okay. Note to self. Don't be a lazy gardener.
Right.
Okay.
Another common mistake is forgetting to set those clear goals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before you launch any campaigns, you need to define what you want to achieve. Are you trying to increase brand awareness? Are you driving traffic to your website? Generating leads? Boosting sales?
Right. Back to those SMART goals we talked about before. Specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound.
Yes. Without clear goals, you're just wandering around in the dark, you know. You need to know where you're going.
Okay, I'm starting to feel like I have a much better grasp of paid search now. We've covered so much, but I know there's still so much more.
Absolutely. We just scratched the surface.
Right.
But that's what's so great about paid search. There's always something new to learn.
Well, I'm feeling inspired to keep digging deeper.
That's great to hear. So in the final part of our deep dive, we're going to explore those more advanced tactics that can take your campaigns to the next level. We'll talk about remarketing, audience targeting, A/B testing, all that good stuff.
Okay, sounds like a plan. I'm ready for that next level. See you in part three.
Welcome back to our deep dive, the final part of our look at paid search strategy for 2024.
It's been quite the journey. We started with the nuts and bolts of campaigns, talked bidding strategies, and even dove into writing awesome ad copy and landing pages. It really has. But now I think it's time to get even more tactical, explore some advanced strategies that can take those campaigns to the next level. You know, level up.
I like the sound of that. Let's dive in.
Okay, so I keep hearing about this remarketing thing.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I'm still a little fuzzy on what it actually is. Can you, like, break it down for me?
Of course. Remarketing is a really clever way to re-engage people who have already checked out your website or brand.
Okay.
So let's say someone visits your shop online, looks at a few products, but then leaves without buying anything.
Right. Happens all the time.
With remarketing, you can show them targeted ads that remind them about those products they were interested in. You know, kind of entice them to come back and finish that purchase.
So it's like a little nudge, like, hey, remember us? Those awesome shoes you were looking at are still here?
Exactly. It's a way to stay top of mind and hopefully bring those potential customers back.
That makes sense. But how does it actually work? Do you need their email address or something?
Not really. Remarketing uses cookies, those little bits of code websites store on your browser.
Okay.
When someone visits your site, a cookie gets placed on their browser, and that's what lets you target them with those ads later on when they're browsing other websites.
So it's not as, I don't know, creepy as it might sound. You're not actually following them around.
No, not at all. It's totally anonymous and data-driven. You're simply showing relevant ads to people who have already shown interest.
Okay, that makes me feel better. So remarketing is all about re-engaging people who have been to our site, but what about reaching completely new audiences? How do we do that with paid search?
That's where audience targeting comes in. This allows you to define the specific groups of people you want to see your ads. You can target based on demographics, interests, behaviors, all sorts of things.
So instead of just throwing our message out there to everyone, we can get super specific about who we want to reach.
Exactly. Let's say you're a fitness apparel company. You could target people interested in yoga, running, or weightlifting. You could even get really specific and target people who have recently bought fitness equipment or attended a fitness class.
Wow, it's like you're reading their minds and showing them exactly what they need before they even know it.
It's about understanding those needs and getting the right message in front of them at the right time.
Remarketing and audience targeting, they both seem like really powerful tools. But how do we know if they're actually working? How do we measure the effectiveness of all this and make changes if we need to?
That's where A-B testing comes in. Remember we talked about that?
Yeah.
It's so important for paid search that I think it's worth revisiting.
Definitely. Just to remind everyone, A-B testing is comparing different versions of our ads to see which performs better. It's like a science experiment for your ad campaigns.
Exactly. So let's say you're not sure which headline works better for your ad. With A-B testing, you'd create two versions, each with a different headline, and run them both at the same time. Google will split the traffic between those two versions, and you can track which one gets more clicks, conversions, or whatever metric you're after.
So we're not just guessing and going with our gut. We're letting the data tell us what works.
Precisely. Data is your best friend in paid search. The more you collect and analyze, the smarter your decisions become.
This has been such a helpful deep dive. We've covered so much, from the basics to the more intricate strategies like remarketing, audience targeting, and A-B testing.
We really have. But even with all that, we've just scratched the surface of paid search.
It feels that way. It's such a fast-paced, constantly evolving field.
And that's what makes it so exciting. The possibilities are pretty much endless.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's that one key takeaway you want our listeners to remember?
I want them to remember that paid search is a powerful tool to reach your target audience and achieve your business goals. But it's not a set it and forget it kind of thing. It takes a deep understanding of your audience, careful planning, and continuous optimization.
Very well said. It's been great exploring the world of paid search with you, and I hope our listeners feel equipped to take their campaigns to the next level.
To everyone listening, happy advertising.